It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Before Thanksgiving. And are we all thankful for that? If nothing else, right? Hey, it's, you know, already the holiday. You can tell by the highways and byways that things are a little already in holiday mode. So I was listening to our good friend and colleague, Don Miller, doing the traffic there, and he was right. It was a nice, easy cruise into the building this morning. We hope you're ready to cruise into the holiday weekend. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower here on The Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are indeed live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. I'm glad to be with you here today. I wanted to have another opportunity before the week was done to get a chance to visit with you and talk about lots of different things, a lot of football-related items, clearly. Jeff Howe is off for the rest of the Thanksgiving week. And, in fact, most of our regular staff, just about all of our regular staff, is out today. However, what an outstanding job the fellows filling in on Bucky and Aaron did this morning. The remix, none other than Zay, Isaiah Collier, and my own producer. If it is true that I am, as he calls me, his uncle, then nephew, you've accorded yourself well, Jonathan John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. Did you have fun doing that deal?
It was. It was early. I told Zach, like, I had my alarm set for 4:55, and I definitely hit snooze three times.
Yeah. 'Cause,
you know, I was prepared to get up, but then, man, I was sleepy. And I never do that. I never go back to sleep.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, five more minutes. So that was the only thing. But doing it was, it's you know, hosting a morning show is not easy.
No, it's not. I've always had admiration for guys that I did morning drive for 3 years in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on news radio. And then it was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I don't think, put it this way, morning drive is not built for play-by-play guys. By and large, some do it, absolutely. Our friend Toby Rowland in Oklahoma does it, voice of the Sooners, but it's not real conducive because you're doing games at night a lot of time and travel and things of that nature. So I'm more than happy to be sitting in here at 10 o'clock in the morning, and 10 o'clock in the morning before Thanksgiving. All right, let me tell you what we have coming up. In a few minutes here, we're going to have our Whataburger Top 5. Snoop will have that, of course. That's the top five players to watch this week, and we ceded that to him before the start of the season. So Snoop will have the Whataburger Top 5 players to watch this week. Then we have, coming up near the bottom of the hour, our weekly conversation with Westlake Chaparral's head coach Todd Dodge. The Chaps are on the practice field right now as we speak. And Coach Dodge said he expects to wrap it in time to be able to join us around the bottom of the hour. So we'll look forward to our weekly conversation as Westlake, still number one in the state, still number, whatever, two in the mythical national polls, if you're following those, and they don't really follow those over at Westlake. The thing for them is to win the state title, and they've won back-to-back state titles and gunning for that third. They get ready to play Far San Juan Alamo North. It's a mouthful. PSJA North. And we'll visit with Coach Dodge about that. We'll have Inconceivable. I got a couple of Inconceivable, including a high school football Inconceivable note. It's not from the state of Texas. We'll have that. Just past the top of the hour, special treat, Vic Schaefer, Texas women's basketball head coach. You know, he's always a pleasure to visit with, and we'll look forward to that conversation, talk about his team, and their next game is on Saturday against CSUN, as they like to be known. That's Cal State University Northridge. They don't want to call it Cal State Northridge. It's CSUN, but they'll play them on Saturday. We'll visit with them about that. But more important, you know, Vic Schaefer is a master chef and a master griller. So we're going to get his Thanksgiving meal prep plan from him. We'll do that. And then, before we're done, we're going to visit with Jeff Abels, head coach of the Bowie Bulldogs, because normally we visit with Coach Abels on Friday. Normally we visit with Coach Schaefer on Thursdays, but because there's no show tomorrow, being Thanksgiving, and Friday is a game day with Texas and Kansas State, because of those things, we asked our coaches who join us later in the week if they would move up. Yesterday, Drew Sanders did that, the head coach of Vandegrift, so that worked out really well. Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, normally joins us on Thursday. He adjusted his schedule. He pivoted and joined us. And then, as I mentioned, Coach Schaefer, more than happy to come on with us just past 11 o'clock, and then later in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have the opportunity to visit with Coach Abels before Bowie's big matchup against the Brennan Bears from the north side of San Antonio. So we'll get to all of that. Now, there's a couple of things that I hear this more not only just on radio, but you see it on television, you read it in the papers and online and all that sort of stuff, and that surrounds what your Thanksgiving meal plan is. Now, Snoop, I know your folks are up in the Metroplex, so a lot of times you don't get a chance to get up there for Thanksgiving. Is there a meal plan on tap for you?
If I don't do the traditional number five at Jack in the Box, sourdough burger with curly fries.
Right, I got you.
Okay. Ravioli, if I don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But here's the question I have. You guys are talking about your favorite Thanksgiving dish. I'm going to turn it just a little bit on this deal. You have when we talk about a Thanksgiving meal, turkey's a given in most cases. So the turkey, I heard you guys having the stuffing versus dressing, but that's basically semantics. It's nomenclature is what it is. Some people call stuffing dressing. Some people call dressing stuffing. It's pretty much the same thing. I know stuffing comes when it's stuffed inside the turkey as well. Some people say they stuff their turkey with dressing. So, whether it's cornbread dressing, cornbread stuff, whatever. However you term it, that's fine. You say, by the way, giblet, I think. And I've said giblet.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's...
I only did it because my mama said.
That's all right. Yeah. It's tomato, tomato. That's like GIF or GIF.
Mm.
On the photos, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So so we all understand kind of what that meal is. We get that. Now, and somebody's already beat me to the punch on this, but here's my question. I have two questions. One, we talk about the turkey, but everybody knows what really becomes the real co-star of the meal, just like is the side dishes. You see, it's usually the co-stars that make the sitcoms work. On the Andy Griffith Show, it wasn't Andy Griffith. He was the centerpiece of it. But it was Don Knotts' Barney Fife who made it go. On Happy Days, it wasn't Richie Cunningham. It was the Fonz, right? So it's the number two guy that makes it on Big Bang Theory. It's not Leonard.
Oh, are you going to get me on there?
Jim Parsons' character. I know the actor's name.
I can see his face.
Yeah, all right. It's the co-stars that make it work, okay? So they're the ones that do it. So in my book, the co-star of the Thanksgiving meal is the sides. So my question is, you got one side. You could only have one side. Sheldon, thank you. Somebody texted. Sheldon is the Jim Parsons' character. Thank you very much, folks. You have one side for Thanksgiving meal to go with your turkey. Only one. What side dish are you having?
It has to be stuffing. It can't be
anything else. Mashed potatoes and gravy?
Oh, that's good.
All right. Well, I thought you said your mom's yams.
Yeah,
were the best
they
part.
Are.
See what I'm saying? You got one. Somebody else pointed out Kramer to Seinfeld. Absolutely. It's the other cast members, the side dishes that make the Thanksgiving meal work. So my question is, you got one side, uno. You got one side. What's it going to be for Thanksgiving meal? All right, that's one question. The other thing, and this is open on the Specs text line, 337-3776, and I'll get to it as well. But if you got, if you had to have a meal other than turkey on Thanksgiving with your family, what would it be? Somebody had already beaten us to it. It said surf and turf fajitas. Well, they also added turkey quesadillas. That's pretty cool. I there was a young lady who used to cut my hair when I lived in the Metroplex, and she was from Oklahoma. Take that for what it is, but when they would get together, they would never eat turkey on Thanksgiving. They had a big Tex-Mex meal, enchiladas and fajitas and tacos and all that kind of stuff. She said, that's what we do at Thanksgiving. We don't do turkey because not enough people want a turkey. So, you know, so if you had something else, what would it be if you didn't eat the turkey on Thanksgiving? For Snoop, it's the sourdough jack, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
And with curly fries and a ranch to dip it in.
Like it. Okay. So we got all those things on deck, and we'll get to our friends along. Somebody says fried catfish. Oh, I like that. Green bean casserole for the side. Pork ribs instead of the turkey with corn on the cob and ranch style beans. See, that's good stuff. Somebody else said, nobody likes turkey in my place. We eat smoked brisket and menudo. Like it. Oh, Infertile Myrtle. Craigway is the main dish. John Madani, the side dish on my Thanksgiving. That's very nice of you. On Christmas, we're doing a brisket on the smoker instead of a turkey, says CB. Like it. Longhorn in Lubbock says, give me the brisket. Somebody says, Thomas Keller's roasted chicken. For the side dish, you only get the one. All right, our man Gringo says mashed potatoes, and I'm with you there. I think mine would probably be the mashed potatoes. I have to think about this a little more, but it would probably be that. I'd probably have to go with the mashed potatoes on that. Somebody says beef Wellington over turkey any day. we barbecue for Thanksgiving, pork ribs and brisket, Southern style chicken. Ooh, here's a good one. For the side dish, Snoop, corn custard. I've had corn pudding before. I really like that. Southern-style chicken. Somebody else says prime rib, no doubt, instead of the turkey. Somebody else having tamales. Not many people have heard of it, but corn casserole. I love corn casserole. Are you kidding me? Love corn casserole. It's a great thing. Somebody else says I'd replace the turkey with a smoked ham. Am I a cranberry sauce guy? I am one twice a year, basically, Thanksgiving and Christmas, if I'm eating it with the Thanksgiving meal. I'm not a guy that just... Yeah, throw me some cranberry sauce, you know. But I'll have some. Absolutely, I'm not bad on that. Somebody said if I get to pick a side dish, prepares the side dish, it'd be my grandmother's mashed potatoes. Whew. If not, it would have to be stuffing. So there's leftovers to make the Thanksgiving sandwiches. You know what? We've got to pull up that Les Miles soundbite about eating the leftover Thanksgiving turkey sandwich. We'll do that. He says if not turkey, it would be roast beef. With Yorkshire pudding. Why, you Brit? I did a lot of reading on the history of that, and that was a very Edwardian thing. It started when King Edward VII, the son of Queen Victoria, and before, you know, King George V and VI and Queen Elizabeth, Edward VII is kind of in the same boat that Prince Charles is in if and when he ever gets to become king. Edward VII was only... the King of England for, I believe, 9 years, I think, from 1902 to 1911 or something like that. And before he passed away, he was already well into his 60s or 70s. But he's the one who pioneered two things. One, the English Sunday tradition of roast beef with Yorkshire pudding, and the potatoes. And the other thing was leaving the bottom button of your vest unbuttoned. Now, he had to do it for utilitarian reasons. He was rather corpulent. He had a large girth. So he did it that way. But it became fashionable to do it that way. So there it is. All right. We'll get to some of these great submissions there. So, again, you got one side dish. Only one. What would it be? And if you weren't going to eat turkey for Thanksgiving dinner, what would the meal be? And we'll get to those coming up. But right now, it's time for our Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 players to watch.
You know, some people would say Whataburger. for Thanksgiving.
Not a bad option.
Not a bad option.
What's yours? Open.
What's yours? The number five?
Four.
Four with the jalapenos?
Yes.
See, now this being Thanksgiving, Snoop, you could stuff yourself more and eat both the French fries and the onion rings that you get and still finish your burger. Because it's Thanksgiving. You're supposed to eat more, right?
If my stomach will take it.
You know when they say, like we just a couple of weeks ago went through return to standard time off daylight saving time? I saw a thing on Facebook last night. It said, don't forget Wednesday night at midnight, turn your scales in your bathroom back 15 pounds there before Thanksgiving. So anyway, it is time for our Whataburger Top 5. Top 5 players to watch. Still plenty of players to watch out of the area schools because there's still plenty of area schools in these high school football playoffs. So who you got, Snoop?
Okay, so my tie at 5 are two guys who didn't start the season as starters, but were thrust into the role. And that's a Wimberley quarterback, Tyler Ross, and Liberty Hill quarterback, Reese Vickers. Now, it was a Will Cishek and Cash McCollum for Wimberley and Liberty Hill, respectively. They are questionable this week. Looks like Tyler Ross will get the start against Cuero. The Texans, that was one of their few losses. They lost 21-3 to the Gobblers back on September 4th. So if they want to avenge that loss and make it to the next round, Tyler Ross is going to have to step in for Cash. He was last week 5-for-6, so he didn't throw a touchdown, but he didn't turn the ball over either. Reese Vickers, really, he just hands the ball off mostly, which is what Will was doing as well. But I think Reese has a little bit more upside than Will. And it's going to be a tough contest against Rouse on Friday night at Pea Field. So Reese and Tyler tied at 5. Number 4 is a defensive lineman for Cedar Park. His name's Ian Ferguson. And he hasn't really played much of the year either, kind of battling injuries. But he was an all-district first team 11-5A member as a junior. He's been playing more of late. And if anybody's going to knock out Pato, they're going to have to get pressure on a quarterback. It can't just be Murray Robinson. They have to have Ian Ferguson have a big game on that line, too.
Agreed.
Number three. Bowie wide receiver Cash Peters. Now, we've heard a lot about the running game, Noah Camacho and Max Barnes getting it done. They've even been catching passes out of the backfield as well. But to beat Brennan, they're going to stack the box against the running backs, and Cash is going to have to be money, no pun intended, if Coach Abels wants to go to round 4. Number 2, I have Chernet Estes, wide receiver number 2 for Lake Travis. We all know about Caleb Burton. He's had 8 touchdowns in the last 3 games, and he's turning it on. So, you know, obviously Laredo South is going to stack against him. Chernet Estes last week had 6 catches for 51 yards, and he came up with some big first downs. So if they want to remain balanced, Chernet needs to be solid for Bo Edmondson. And my number 1 player to watch, where's number 0? His name is Ryan Shepard. He's actually a Utah commit for lacrosse, but he's a pretty good running back too. He has over 1,100 yards on the ground. He's been the bell cow for the Vipers, and if Vandegrift wants a potential matchup with whoever wins out of that Westlake game, Ryan needs to have a big game against Vela. That's Vela. All right. Ryan Shepard, go get him. It's my Whataburger Top 5.
Okay. Did I hear you say whoever wins out of that Westlake Vela game?
Just to be fair.
I know. I get it. I understand. I understand.
And we, I wanted to put somebody from Westlake in there, but, man, it's just how to get, there's so many people on
this
that
is
team.
Not the week to do that. This is Valley Week.
Oh.
Okay? This is not the week to bother yourself with that.
Okay.
All right. Get to next week. If it's a quarterfinal between Westlake and Vandegrift, we'll talk then. Then it becomes, then it boils down to guys on both sides as players to watch. Wouldn't it be great if we had like a doubleheader next week, if you had a Lake Travis Bowie rematch followed by a Westlake Vandegrift matchup or vice versa, Westlake Vandegrift first game, Lake Travis Bowie, say it doesn't matter which one, him to have it as a doubleheader, maybe even a DKR or something. That would be cool if you had that. We'll hope for the best. We'll see.
I'll ask Santa. He's taking requests. Maybe he'll bring me an early present.
You're hitting Santa up early. So somebody says, hey, it's Craig. Hey, Schultz family tradition on my wife's side. Homemade rolls. Ooh. Two types, with pecan and orange rolls, which are made with orange zest baked in. Wow. That sounds good. CB, says Craig, 10 years ago, today on Thanksgiving, you had a side of Aggie tears. He's talking about the Justin Tucker field goal 10 years ago today. How about that? 10 years ago today. So there you go. Our man Zach Lucero said one year I missed Thanksgiving. My family, so I went to the gas station, got a Pepsi and a bag of Funyuns. Hey, whatever works, right? For Police Chief Ken too, it's tamales with ketchup. Now, at first glance, Chief, I might say, oh, come on. But listen, don't knock it till you try it, right? So somebody said, if not turkey, then liver and onions. My advice, stick to the turkey. I'm just not a not a liver and onions guy. I'm not a Brussels sprouts guy either, but somebody said, I make a mean shaved Brussels sprouts with cranberries and pecans. My fiance would be all about that. Linda loves that. She would do that. Can pecan pie be a side? No, but it can be a main course. Of course it can be. It's a dessert, if that's what it has to be. Hard not to have some of Grandma's mac and cheese on Thanksgiving. That would be my side like that. Native Texan just loving that Yorkshire pudding. Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. Decades ago when living in East Texas, when Texas played the Ag School on Turkey Day every year, I would eat barbecue in College Station or Tex-Mex in Austin, says our man Ed McElroy. Good to hear from Ed on that. And Big Mike says, I agree with the Chief. Tamales and ketchup. I'm going to have to try that now, don't you imagine it? And Air Guitar Matt getting real creative on us with the sous vide mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts with bacon and mac and cheese. Side dish, I heard you guys mention the broccoli and cheese. Well, he said broccoli rice and cheese. He said broccoli rice casserole with the cheese.
There
right?
has to be cheese in it.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Somebody said chicken and dumplings if they weren't having turkey.
Yes.
Mom's broccoli and rice, his local Longhorn Lyft driver for that. My George Costanza, in other words, the side dish that complements it, is the mashed potatoes and gravy. I think it has to be mine. I just love it. I had it at Luby's last night. Went to Luby's. Took my grandkids to Luby's. Had an experimentation with Jell-O. They were all about the Jell-O.
So, what did they do with it?
Eat it, but kind of play with it too. Yes. Yeah, kids are. It's Jell-O. My daughter said she wasn't even sure they'd even had Jell-O before. I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 17-month-old. And they were. It was like, this is fun. Oh, I eat it too? So there was some of that. Somebody else, instead of turkey, if you had to have something other than turkey, would have Cuban roast pork. And then somebody else says, try tamales and dip it in the Whataburger spicy ketchup. That's pretty good, the thought about that. I had to get a shot. And somebody else said the tamales go with fresh sliced tomato. Somebody said, no ketchup. Fresh, whatever works, right? All right. Coming up, we're going to visit with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. We'll see if the Chaps are off the practice field yet, and hope to visit with him coming up here in a few minutes. Also, we will have Inconceivable this hour. And again, if you have to go with something other than turkey for Thanksgiving, what is the meal? We've had a lot of great suggestions on that. And if you only have one side dish, only one, because the sides really make it work. If you only get one side dish, what is it? Somebody said, I have to go with the twice-smoked ham and air-fried garlic parm green beans. Wow, instead of the turkey dinner for Thanksgiving. See, those kind of suggestions. All right, this is Light the Tower, a pre-Thanksgiving edition here. On the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. We welcome you back here to Light the Tower here on the Horn. There's no mistaking who's on top right now of the high school polls in Texas. The two-time defending state champion Westlake Chaparrals going for their third consecutive title. And this, the final season under head coach Todd Dodge. And we're so pleased to have him join us on the Vaquero's Cafe hotline on this day before Thanksgiving. Our conversation with Coach Dodge brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out on the web at cpdoors.com. Todd, I know you're fresh from the practice field, so I appreciate you taking the time. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Craig. We had a really good practice this morning. Now we are. I am sitting here on the tailgate of my pickup truck watching the Turkey Bowl, talking with you. So it is in full bloom right now. The Turkey Bowl.
I love the Turkey Bowl. For folks who aren't familiar with it, I've had you tell the story the past couple of years about the Turkey Bowl because I know it's a special part of the Westlake football tradition.
Yeah, we've started this a long time ago, and unfortunately we weren't able to do it last year. So all of our attack team, which is our scout team players and any of our JB bring up on the week of Thanksgiving on that Wednesday, which is today, after our normal practice, then we get a chance to get them out. And, you know, there's probably 200 or 300 people here watching them play, friends and family. And so they scrimmage. It's always a fun time.
Yeah, I mean, this is big for the parents and the families of these kids that are playing in this thing, aren't they? To get an opportunity to see their young men, that where they may have some dreams of the future, what they might be able to do, and becoming full-on big-time contributors for Westlake. But to see them the day before Thanksgiving do this, I know means a lot to the families as well, doesn't it?
Oh, it's really cool when, you know, as the years have gone on, when I find out that some grandparents had come in for Thanksgiving and they got to see their grandson or their son that was a senior and gets to play turkey ball, or that some of our younger kids for the future of Westlake football. So it's a fun time.
Tom, let me get your thoughts on, you've had two very impressive playoff victories. I ask you quite frequently because I'm always curious, even in the most impressive of wins, sometimes for you and your staff, maybe the team didn't hit all of the goal boards. I know for most of the folks from the outside looking at 70-7 over New Braunfels, saying surely they must have hit all the goal boards this past weekend. Was that the case? And overall, your assessment of not only the New Braunfels game, but really the first two rounds of the playoffs, the first third of it, if you will.
Well, the thing that we ask our players to do is to stay who we are. Kind of set the bar on who this team is. This year, it's a very physical team. It's a team that is a very efficient and starts fast on offense, and a defense that just swarms to the football. And so we were able to go out in both of these games to be able to do that. And again, we reference the goal board a lot, and it's kind of how we live. We always talk to our players. You know, the 2 days before the game this is our blueprint. You know, if we just kind of start getting into the game, start checking these things off. And then we hit 10 of 10 on defense. And I think we hit 9 of 10 on defense and 9 of 10 on offense. And I think we hit 5 of 7 on kicking game. So, yeah, it was a very efficient game. Big thing is, you know, for me, as we go through, we scored on the first possession of the both halves. We didn't turn the ball over. When our twos got in the game in the second half, the bar didn't lower. Defensively, we stopped the run, and they had a really good running back that was a 1,000-yard rusher going into the game. And, you know, I was just really, you know, going into that ball game, as we evaluated New Braunfels, I told our kids, I said, this is a one high school town, just like we are, you know, and the city of New Braunfels is absolutely fired up about their football team. And so they had a win over a undefeated San Antonio Johnson team in week one. So they had our attention big time. And what a great crowd that they brought from just down the road. And it was a great atmosphere there at Rattler Stadium there in San Marcos.
Todd, you brought up something interesting. I heard Chris Beard, the Texas basketball coach, bring up, and it's with regard to when the backups go in the game. And he said almost the exact same thing that you just said, and it's about not having the performance drop off. Now, the layman might say, okay, that's the second team going up against first team. When you say the performance drop off, that encompasses a lot of things, right? About the intensity and the execution, not just whether the score gets a little bit closer.
No, it's all about, you know, getting out there on that goal board. So even if our second team offense goes in and we haven't had a three and out the entire ball game, well, the expectation is that we don't. And we didn't the other night. And, you know, that we don't turn the ball over. And that we, you know, as far as the unit grade didn't go down, Nate Acosta, sophomore running back, stepped in and, you know, had almost 90 yards rushing in the second half. And, of course, Christian Edgar, you know, played really well. And then our second offensive line came in and played well. And then defensively, you know, we had 9 different defensive linemen in the game, throughout the game, that graded out with positive points, what we feel is winning points.
You mentioned Christian Edgar playing. Did that time stepping in for Cade at quarterback, have you been able to see that makes him all the more effective and better now when he's going back in with the second team guys?
No doubt. I mean, he just did what he did in the three games that that we needed him to step in the middle of a district play. He was 6 of 7 in his time in, and he rushed for about 60 yards and just led the offense like he's supposed to do.
Visiting with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, here on Light the Tower on the Horn with Craig Way and Snoop Daniel.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about Ethan Burke, and I know he's a lacrosse commit at Maryland, but it looks like he has a new Division I football offer coming in every day. Can you kind of talk about his development this year?
Well, we all knew who he was. I think that a lot more of the recruiting world would have known who he was a little earlier had he been able to play a full season for us as a junior. He broke a collarbone in the summertime playing lacrosse, and then that kind of put him on the shelf till the playoffs last year. And he really had a great run the last three playoff games. He was, just very disruptive, had a great state championship game. But, yeah, he's a high-level lacrosse player and was committed and is committed to Maryland. But the signing day for lacrosse happened about 2 weeks ago, and he bypassed that because all of a sudden he got his first offer from University of Utah, and then he got an offer from Baylor, and then he got an offer from Texas Tech, and he got an offer from Michigan. He took an official visit last Saturday to Kansas State, so it's really taken off for him.
And you've always been a real big proponent and a supporter of kids playing multiple sports because you feel that in the end, for leadership as well as the hand-eye coordination thing, makes them better football players all around, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's something that we pride ourselves in here at Westlake. We've got a whole lot of kids that play multiple sports. You know, most of them, it's either baseball, lacrosse, or they all run track, and he has just been one of those guys that has been – I asked him at the beginning of the year, I said, even though you didn't play a full season, I consider you a veteran. He was voted on by his teammates as a team captain, and he's played extremely well. And I'm very, very proud for him and happy for him and his family that this kind of opportunity has come his way at the Division I football level.
Visiting with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. Third round of the playoffs. Here we are to the Sweet 16. Todd, you've never called it this that much that I know of, but people outside of programs that watch what happens in the greater Austin and San Antonio area have referred to the third round as Valley Week because schools, quite often, the opponent in the third round is from the Rio Grande Valley. It sometimes can carry a bit of a negative stigma, not toward the programs here, but the programs down there saying they're not ready to compete. And the numbers bear that out. But I know you've never taken that tact with your guys. So the question is, how do you get your guys, and we've discussed this before, we did it last year, how you get your guys to dial in on the singular nature of the opponent and not a quote-unquote valley opponent with perhaps a huge quarterfinal game the following week to come?
Well, here around our field house, we've never, called it Valley Week. Some people may do that, but that's kind of how it ends up happening, that teams from the Austin-San Antonio area do play a Valley team. We don't call it that. It's all about making sure that we put the video on, we evaluate the team that we're going to play. This team that we're going to play, Far San Juan Alamo North, on Friday is 9-2 on the season. They've got two big playoff wins. I think they're one of the top two, teams in the Valley this year. And so it's all about, making sure that as we prepare for them, and I'm not naive. And sometimes people on the outside of the field house may say, well, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Well, you still got to go do it, And the one thing about at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon in Alamo Dome, I think when we kick it off, it's going to be 0-0. Okay. So we got to go earn everything that we have. And, a really physical team that we're playing, they've got, multiple ways and multiple weapons to run the football, and they've done a great job of it. So, our kids will be ready to play.
You've always talked about how special it is to practice on Thanksgiving morning. This year, it's back in that regular year. Last year was kind of weird because it was still in the regular season, but it was still important nonetheless. So how good does it feel to be back on the quote-unquote regular schedule of what a Thanksgiving day practice really and truly means, which in this case means you're in the Sweet 16?
I hadn't really thought about that, Craig, but as I think about it now, I say we didn't play the Turkey Bowl last year. Heck, when we were on Thanksgiving, our JV and freshmen were still playing games on those weeks. I think our JV and freshmen played on Wednesday of Thanksgiving last year, and we played on maybe the Friday of Thanksgiving, and I'm not sure how that went, but we were still in regular season. But it is, you know, the one thing I've always told our teams, this goes all the way back to South Lake, you know, if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, you've made it to the final 16 in the state of Texas. You know, I just believe that as you go through your journey in a program, any program, that if you can, you know, you can say year in, year out that you've made it to the final 16, then you can take a lot of pride in what you're getting done.
You know, I'm always curious to get your thoughts, too, about Thanksgiving, because as a Texas Longhorn, you were part of that run where Texas was playing Texas A&M on Thanksgiving, whether it was day or night. Yep. What stands out to you about your time when you were playing for the Longhorns, when you would match up against the Aggies and during those years on Thanksgiving?
Oh, it's just tremendous memories, you know, and we really did. We played it the old-fashioned way. You know, we played it on Thanksgiving Day, and I mean, the crowds, the unbelievable crowds at Memorial Stadium here in Austin, and also, you know, there at Kyle Field. You know, it's, you know, just, I know when we played at Kyle Field, you know, when you look up at those stands and the whole place is kind of swaying, you know, and it looks like the whole stadium's moving. And, you know, I hope that, you know, obviously, I guess, you know, they're all going to be in that same conference here before long, that game will come back. I think that's going to be really important to the state of Texas.
I would imagine it's important to you as a Texas X and the head coach of this program that it was 10 years ago today that it was a former Westlake Chaparral, Justin Tucker, who kicked the game-winning field goal to beat Texas A&M on Thanksgiving night, the last time these two teams played.
Yeah, that's something that obviously as a Texas, you know, ex football player, and also, you know, a Westlake guy, also, yeah, we definitely take a lot of pride in that, and reminded, you know, this time of year each and every year.
Hey, Todd, I appreciate the time, and we hope you have a great, you and Elizabeth and the family have a great Thanksgiving. Look forward to the game on Friday afternoon in the Alamo Dome, and we'll look forward to the visit next week.
Thanks, Craig. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving, Snoop. Y'all have a great tomorrow, okay?
Thank you, Coach. Thanks, Todd. All right. That's Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, sitting on the bed of his pickup, watching the Turkey Bowl game over there at Westlake. Hundreds of fans over there to see the freshman and sophomore, the scout team kids, go at it.
The future.
I think the future's in good hands, regardless of that. Before we get to the break, and then, of course, we have Inconceivable coming up, I wanted to get to some of the other things when they said, who was Coach Dodge just talking about getting all the recent offers?
Ethan Burke.
Yeah, because of what he is as a lacrosse player.
Mm-hmm. He's a Maryland lacrosse commit. I was like, I don't remember him signing, so it makes sense. I'm glad he cleared that up.
Yeah. Our man CB reminds us it was 21 years ago today, in the year 2000, Chris Sims and the trio of freshman wide receivers were feasting on the Aggies at DKR. I believe that one was 51-16, if I remember correctly there. Somebody said, and going back to the questions again, if you couldn't have turkey at Thanksgiving, what would it be? And if you only have one side dish, what's the side dish? The police chief Cantu was talking about the tamales with ketchup. He said, my mother-in-law makes the best tamales from Alice, Texas. I'm going to coordinate a day in December and drop some off with Aaron, Bucky, and Craig. Please do, Chief. I'd love to have that. Somebody else said, my one side would be, golly, my wife's Mexican cornbread dressing, along with the regular ingredients. It has chorizo added to it, fresh diced jalapeno peppers, chopped red bell peppers, and chopped cilantro. Wow, that's pretty good.
Had me at chorizo.
Yeah, so there you are. And then Texas Alpha says, the last of my 38 straight Texas A&M games, finally made it down on the field. He's got a photo of when after the ball had gone through, he said, this is the spot where Tucker kicked the epic field goal ending the series. I then reached down and tore the piece of turf, which I possessed today. Way to go. All right, so there it is. And again, if you have if you were not having turkey for Thanksgiving, what would the meal be? And if you could only have one side, because the Thanksgiving meal to me is all about the sides, if you only have one side dish, what is the side dish? But up next, we bring you Inconceivable which has a Thanksgiving twist to it. We'll continue with Light at the Tower on the Horn, 1049, 1019 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Inconceivable! Inconceivable!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, you know, to some folks, it might be inconceivable to think that you could eat anything other than turkey on Thanksgiving, or only one side. But that's the dilemma I put in front of folks today. If you only have one side, what would that be? Our good friend Beaver Lance Jason says, it's always turkey for his meal, but if I had to choose another, the H-E-B spiral ham, either with a side of a Cowboys victory. I think you're going to get that Cowboys victory tomorrow against those struggling Las Vegas Raiders.
Better.
And then Jason said, you can only have one dessert. What would it be? He says, mine, a pumpkin and cream cheese roll. That sounds good. I mean, I'm not a pumpkin guy, but my sister used to make at Thanksgiving. Now, there's always pecan pie, and I'm not a pumpkin guy, so I wouldn't even eat the pumpkin pie. But my sister used to always make an egg custard pie that was just muy bueno. Just very, very good. I always liked that as well. Victor says, Craig, y'all got Snoop covered for Turkey Day. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Appreciate you, Vic.
Yeah. There we go. All right. So, with regard to inconceivable, it's my good friend Keith Fletcher, who used to work for Fox Sports Southwest. He's works for Future Four Football for the NFF Network and also for the Big 12 Conference. Fletch, as we call him, with a story today. It's entitled A New Crinkle in COVID Football. Two New York County health departments allow a team with an outbreak just days ago to play their playoff game if only vaccinated players who show no symptoms play, which would allow them to avoid a postseason forfeit. It's in the Buffalo area, Benninghi and McQuaid Jesuit, and they actually played last night. The Buffalo Public School says they're going to protest the game, saying it should be forfeited there, that it should not be allowed to take place. But the High School Athletic Association says the way that it is, McQuaid Jesuit and Rochester, they were supposed to play Saturday in their West Regional game. It was postponed to yesterday. When the outbreak happened, a number of players and coaches from McQuaid were put into quarantine. And with the postponement of the game, Erie County officials said the quarantine period has run its course. Said so they have tests on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They skip Sunday and Monday, Tuesday. And only the players that are testing negative on all five of those days would be allowed to play. So that was one way around that. Five consecutive or five straight days or 5 days of negative tests and only negative play. Those who are testing negative would be allowed to play. What was it, the movie, Snoop? I didn't see it. I think it was Armageddon, the one where they have to that something's going to crash into the Earth, right?
Armageddon.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, they had to go. They were going up to the comet to
get
move
it off
its course.
Move it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's happening. Not Armageddon, but a NASA spacecraft was launched just after midnight last night, very early this morning. The double asteroid redirection test lifted off from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California, and it was at 12:21 a.m. our time this morning, and it went up into space. The test for this asteroid deflection technology will come in September 2022. The spacecraft is supposed to reach its destination and then to see how it impacts the motion of a near-Earth asteroid in space. They're going to crash land this this spacecraft into this asteroid deliberately and hoping that it'll knock it off course. And, of course, near-Earth objects are asteroids and comets, and they have orbits that place them within 30 million miles of the Earth. And so detecting the threat of near-Earth objects, or NEOs as they call them, could potentially cause grave harm. That's a primary focus of NASA and other space organizations around the world. They're constantly watching this. So they're hoping that the spacecraft is just crash into it because it's an asteroid, to keep it from entering the Earth's atmosphere. So, you know, sometimes Art imitates life, right? Life imitating art in this case. So we'll do that. Strange but perhaps good news here out of Missouri. After spending 43 years in prison for a triple murder that he says he didn't commit, a Missouri man is finally free. After spending 43 years behind bars, a Missouri man's conviction was set aside. Senior Judge James Welsh filed his ruling yesterday morning to set aside the conviction of 62-year-old Kevin Strickland, who served 43 years at Western